Okay, I debated doing a really bad Irish accent, but despite my name, I can't do anything very Irish, so I won't embarrass myself and the whole country by doing that. So, Noel Power works for me at SUSE Labs, and as some of you heard before, he was unable to come due to a family illness suddenly. So, I've been involved a little bit here and there in the project, and so, Ralph, if something I say is wrong, you're the most likely person to know, and you can tell me. First of all, how many of you have been to one of Noel's talks before about the Windows Search Protocol? Okay, all right, so I will then, I'm not wasting time going through what it's kind of his old presentation plus the new stuff he's done. So we'll go through a background into what the Search Protocol does, and it's probably pretty obvious what it does. Just bring you through what's gone on in the last year as well. So you can read yourself pretty quickly, but it's pretty obvious. You want to be able to very quickly just say on the server, from the server, but at your desktop, show me all my pictures, find the file name this, and not have to have the client go remotely access every single file or every, just look in all the directories remotely, just have the server say, here's where they are. So on the Windows side, you've seen it probably in action if you've ever been on a Windows machine. You can watch things slow down occasionally if you've added a bunch of stuff. But you'll also see that files will start getting these properties magically filled in, like, these are JPEGs. Oh, this is going to be a picture. So it keeps track of things like that. It has one of the advantages of it running as a service there is there's just one index for the entire system. A lot of the multiple projects in open source will do this by keeping track of separate lists for each user. So everything's done. It has access to everything on the file system, and it will it also then keep track of who's allowed to look at what. That way someone can't search things that they don't have access to, where so the problem you could fall into by having the single search process is that, well, it can see everything, so what happens if you accidentally let somebody see a file that they shouldn't be able to see? They at least know that it's there. So all this is taken care of in one process on Windows. Well, one service on Windows, I should say. Okay, the protocol itself is one of the things that was defined the open specification documents that we've got. And Noel just chose this one at one point just to kind of learn about how this whole thing worked. There are a lot of protocols out there I could look at. This seemed to be one that he could relate to. So it's intended to be used by end users ultimately, so they didn't want to make it really complex, so that it's roughly text kind of queries that you'll see written. And it uses the lovely named pipes that have been around and forever, even on OS 2, and they're always fun for us. So that's actually where the Sama piece comes in. So it is added on some of the work that was done in Sama 4 to separate out some of the RPC processes so you wouldn't have to run them, and enables us to do this as well, run this thing completely on the side and just use SMBD as the transport for the named pipes. And as most of the RPC mechanisms we have IDL to make it easier to generate this language. It requires still some modifications because it's not strictly an RPC. It has some raw blobs in there that don't fit the model. So we have to extend our model for Piddle a little bit there. We've chosen Tracker simply because on the Linux side, because that's the one that SUSE defaults to if you happen to be a GNOME user. So that's just what Noel was and still is, and that's why I chose Tracker. So I'll bring you through some of the things that were challenges to get over, and going through a search will give you returns a bunch of rows in the columns of the properties of the items you asked for in the results. And you may want to go through and iterate, search around, scroll around. Turned out not to be quite as easy as you might have thought. And then filtering is just limiting to the subset of queries, the subset of results that an individual user who's making the query can do. And there's just some of these things like, this is a movie. This is a Word document. You can get from the extension, but it's actually known on the Windows side. We don't have the equivalent. So some of this stuff has to be mapped. And one of the big challenges is that when the only client you have is the Windows GUI or, you know, Cortana, you start having, it becomes difficult to do some specific tests. So, as I described, you do this query, you get back a bunch of results. And in Tracker, it's just, you can basically stream through the query, and you're reading through okay, I'm this far, you pass this cursor back to continue the search, and now you say, wait a minute, go back up, I need to see something. And, Windows Search Protocol expects that to happen, and the Windows Search Service does that quite easily, Tracker does not. So you have to find some way to go back. So there's a couple solutions. Originally, concerned about memory, Noel implemented a cache so that as you're iterating through, it would seek ahead and do a few things and maybe even let you go backwards a little bit. But then if you suddenly in your window think, I remember something was at the top, scroll back up to the top, it would have to go back, start the query, get the query results from Tracker all over. Ended up taking a lot of time. So in this current iteration, he is just storing all the results, just going through one time, going through all the results, and then just converting the format as needed. Does take some more memory, so it could be a quite large footprint if you have these giant directories. So, and as I was mentioning before, the search protocol expects that you will only return items that you have access to. So, with Tracker, there's this global. A global one that actually keeps track of everything, that keeps a list of everything. And you have to check then on each individual file as it's going. It's a slow process. You have to be able to check the Unix ACLs, the POSIX ACLs that might be there. You have to evaluate if we're using VFS, that stores the Windows ACLs, the NT ACLs, those have to be evaluated as well on each file. So that does present a problem with getting the right answer, getting the answer that is only limited to the subset of that the user should be able to do. Yes, Volkler. Hide unreadable, which is a SMB.com parameter. Does have the same issue, so it slows things down. One advantage we have in the case of Tracker is that if any of you have ever used it, you log on, and if you haven't disabled it, you'll notice that for a while things are kind of slow, and it's evaluating what you, as an individual user, are able to do. And once a user's logged on, then Tracker will be keeping a note of those things. And if you can speak, am I getting this correct? Yes, good. So if a user's never been logged on, you are not able to, well, I'm kind of jumping ahead here in details. You're not able to get a list from that Tracker daemon then you really have to go through and search everything. So at the moment, I said, he just returns everything. And this one, I have an outstanding question to him. I'm assuming he's doing an create file, like an NT file create, to open the files, check each one, because everything else he's tried did not work. First he thought, all I have to do is check access. Well, the system call access, which will evaluate it for you on the POSIX side, but lo and behold, we're searching for windows. We want to be able to evaluate those windows access. So like I said, it's slow, and they have to check every single record. Another problem he's run into is that one of the most frequent queries is show me all my music. And that's an easy one. So it's you just have a category of extensions, right, that say this is probably music, and we map those as they come through. Sometimes they can get more difficult. There are some properties like a document ID number that we don't ever keep track of that is, I'm assuming, there for the Office suite, but it's nothing that we know about. So it isn't tracked on Tracker. So some of those things end up getting filtered out incorrectly. So if you're really taking advantage of the details of these properties, it can be you can get some not so ideal results. So just to improve it, he's simply mapped more properties as he's tried different kinds of files. And in terms of figuring out, is this a property that's really important? He's just added a few heuristics to decide if this not having support for the property means it should be dropped or it should be included. Because sometimes it's really not a big deal, and other times it might be critical. And so it's still not perfect, but, well, it can't be. And then, since you might have a mixture of documents on a company server that has, maybe this is, for whatever reason, you have all your instructional videos on one share, but then you have a whole bunch of other types of things somewhere else that really use all these different have strange names, generate lots of strange results. You may want to disable it for one share and not for another, so he's allowed you to disable it on individual shares. So, as I mentioned before, you know, he wants to test this thing out. The only place that was existing, unless there was a toolkit somewhere that he couldn't find, this was logging onto Windows and doing a query. And as we have often seen, just with SMB in general, especially when someone opens up Explorer and starts looking around, you look at the Wireshark trace and you wonder, why the heck is it opening this file or checking the info in this file 17 times before I ever do anything with it? Well, you know, something inside the process is making it. There are just libraries that want that information, and so it tends to generate similarly with the search queries a lot of extra things that you don't really know why it's there. So it makes it really hard to test. If you want to say, did I get this mapping right? Did I get this filtering right? You can't really very easily get the exact test narrowed down that you want. So he's created a simple client himself. So there are, now I had only remembered three, but there are four apparently, maybe there are more, ways that you can do these queries, and you can sort of see where they might come from. The first one, advanced query syntax, looks kind of like what a developer might think of, unless they happen to be, say, a DB2 developer, and then they might think of an SQL-like one. And you can see why a natural query syntax, just say, you know, hey, find all these files for me, is a really nice idea. I don't know if it's maybe used in Cortana or not, but certainly that would be a really handy way for normal people like my mother to go, no, never mind. Normal people like your mother go to sit down and not think like a programmer. My mother was a programmer. So This search MS protocol is one I am not familiar with at all. So I don't know. Do you know this one at all? Tom's looking at me like,
don't. I have absolutely no idea.
Okay. Okay, so he's guessing that Cortana probably doesn't, and maybe it was there for some research project and they left it in, or maybe it's used in some.
The Windows Search is an older version of Windows Search. I mean, it was present in earlier SKUs. It's still present in modern SKUs, but it's being replaced over time with cloud-based, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so. Yeah, so as Tom explained, that this has been around for quite a while in various versions, and it is being phased out. If you care to add more details, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I mean, we made the same comment when we first saw Noel's presentation. I mean, it's the only third-party implementation of the search protocol we're aware of. Mm-hmm. It seems to be quite comprehensive, which is very impressive, but it's sort of doesn't have much of a future in Windows, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. Right. At this point, I mean, it's really his pet project, and he wants to see it out and wants to see it because, well, yeah, there are certainly a lot of old systems that last for a long time.
Well, and it still works. I mean, it's still present in Windows. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's strategic as a product feature, but it's still there. It's mm-hmm. quite valid. Yeah, it's interesting.
These queries are flow in the wire.
Well, okay, so no, they don't come across like this at all. These queries here that you see, these are just the representation on the client side. So you are, they get put into another format, which I'm not really going to go into, but it happens to be, the advanced query syntax happens to be sort of the closest one to be able to easily convert it, and so he chose the advanced query syntax, which also makes sense because you look at it as a developer and you think, I might think like that. And he also found it to be the best documented one. One of the things he found trouble with is he couldn't find a way to say, I only want to retrieve these certain properties. I don't really need everything. He couldn't find a way to restrict that. And then there are just some internal representations that weren't obvious to him, but it's not too relevant in terms of this talk. And you can't do some of the more complex queries, which really made it easier. You know, if you look at the kind of things you can restrict by, and some of them may seem pretty simple, you know, contains a word or a phrase to catch to match a specific property, that's kind of clear. You're looking for something that has this phrase. But then there are other ones that, the average end user isn't going to know about, like probabilistic ranking. Well, I'm sure that the Windows client itself would have some knowledge of doing this, but someone just sitting there on a command line wouldn't necessarily know how to do this. So he did not bother with some of those. Took the ones that he found most important. Really, that part is, here are some examples. I'll go back to the other one. And I would say, looking at the bottom one, you can see sort of, this is about the full complexity of what he's implemented. He wants to find, this is one I didn't ever get an explanation of the syntax, but to restrict based on properties is finding in the results, restricting the result, the set of results based on some of the properties, like the query actually, how do you best say this? It's kind of a one level recursion in. You can, within your query, you can get some things filled in, and then it will kind of fill out the query to the way it really would be if you had known that information to begin with. And this was around, probably not by last Sombex P, but shortly after, because he talked about this in an internal conference we had. So he's added his own select statement, which is not part of the AQ, the advanced query syntax, just because that's really what you'd want to use. And it allows them to things like, oh yeah, I really only want to know the size of the files. How much room are all my media taking up? Just give me the sizes. I don't care about all of the other properties. So from an end user standpoint, I think that's everything we've got that's new from him. This is a much more detailed topic, and I am much less comfortable here, so I will give a very high level, and he has a few diagrams that I will not be able to explain to you, and I apologize for that. So if you've been around enough of these talks or in enough of the code, you know that we have these de-event loops. Well, GLib has their own event loops, and that's what Tracker uses. So there's no real way to get in there without somehow touching their event loops. So we don't want to just have effectively something that's synchronous and waiting on a, like, give me this result now. So you really have to merge the two event loops together, and this is where, you know, I claim manager. So you either have two different processes that are doing this side by side and running independently, or you have them, one controlling the other one, like a sub-process that just handles the queries for the glib. And I really shouldn't talk a whole lot about that because I'll probably get it wrong. But it's really easy because the different event loops have different models in terms of the things where certain pieces come in input that need to be ready and the order of processing. You can very easily get one event loop that's getting fed faster than the other one, and you can end up starving for data. And I think it's working fairly well now. Now, Ralph Blumen there has done some of this similar kind of work from the app Spotlight support on Mac OS. In your case, you have a completely separate, you're just making calls to Tracker directly?
No, just locally.
Yeah, sure.
Is it? Okay. No, I just occasionally call into the glib loop and like it event loop once and just give it the chance to run its event loop once and process events. And if it returns, I'm done, and then we just continue with our our own event loop, which is sort of a hack, but yeah, it works.
Yeah, have you ever found it to just really get stuck? I mean, hold things up for a long time? No. Okay.
Not yet.
Okay, well, maybe this is over-engineered, but who knows till more people are using it. So yeah, pretty diagrams, don't want to explain them, because I can't. So I'll just go over the new stuff he's done. Right, the search is probably the biggest piece of work from his perspective. No, most end users won't care, but it makes it testable. We can have very specific tests, and we need to have very specific tests. This Wireshark dissector does make it a lot easier to go through. It was a bit of a hack to get some of the IDL working the right way. And so some of the stuff is tweaked afterwards, which is not ideal after it's been compiled. And then, 64-bit mode, I don't know why, but sometimes the formats are different. It's not just the size of a integer, there are completely different formats, and he added support for these new formats. Yes, and you can, for performance sake, you can restrict the number of how many results you get. You can also turn it off by a share, just because it's really useless on one share. And then what happens actually, if you turn it off, then you fall back to the old behavior of let's just remotely opening the directory, looking through, and it takes forever. But it will be correct. So if you want to help, even just testing is a great help. And if you want to dive into the code, it's, let me see. Oh, this is probably better. These are the places you can find the code. null power. That's pretty much his on GitHub. It's his pretty much his only projects, just about. So it's easy to find. And right, the reason I keep asking Ralph is Ralph's done some excellent documentation on getting this stuff going. So we do have some. He does build for SUSE on the build service some packages you can also download and just install it and go if you want to just try it out. Aren't interested in coding, compiling, but it does run. And yeah, I mean testing is probably the biggest thing we need. So I can try to answer any questions, but I might not be able to.
At a very high level.
Mm-hmm.
At a very high level, it would be helpful to probably just briefly mention Tracker. And second of all, since the Mac has Spotlight, vaguely similar purpose, right?
Well, yeah.
I don't know if the Mac will use Windows Search Service if it's talking to Windows, but it is useful at a high level, briefly to mention Tracker, but also to think about how does contrast with Spotlight support. And how much overlap or integration or shared stuff exists in the Spotlight support, because obviously a lot of that's in a VFS module and this, because it does seem at some level like there ought to be more overlap than you described.
For that, I will actually have to say that Ralph would need to comment about anything that's to do with Spotlight and what might be able to be more in common. Because that's just not something that I can answer. And I'm a manager, so I delegate.
So what was the question?
So at a high level, what's Tracker? And the second question.
Well, that I can answer.
Can we get more commonality, or how much commonality can there be between Spotlight and the Windows Search Service in the back end? Because a lot of your stuff is VFS module.
Well, we're already using the same backend, so it's completely common. We are both using Tracker. And other than that, we can't share too much because the only work we actually do in Samba is receiving search queries in the corresponding search protocol from the client, so either Spotlight from a Mac or a Windows search protocol from Windows, and then translating it to GNOME Tracker, Sparkle query syntax. And then we just push it out to Tracker.
I guess there are parts of this, you know, Microsoft does content indexing, for example, right? Has a flag for content indexing. I assume that in their back end, GNOME doesn't do any of this kind of stuff. Tracker, right? Tracker is agnostic about file systems and probably doesn't do anything in the file system. But I'm wondering, so if we're only using one back end, GNOME Tracker, and GNOME Tracker is pretty dumb, it sounds like. Can we, as we, because I mean, this is an important feature. Spotlight's important for Mac. I've got a Mac here, right? I had to use it to find my presentation. So, one of the things I'm wondering about is, can we drive any changes in Tracker and GNOME? Are they responsive at all to not just?
Sure, it's open source.
Well, okay, but there are open source components that ignore you, and there's those that don't.
Well, if you have patches, if you extend it in any way that's useful for Samba, they're probably very happy to accept contributions.
Yeah, as long as you're not changing their architecture. I mean, if you say that you need a fundamental architecture change, that'll be a big, long, drawn-out conversation. But
let's be more precise. You had two or three slides where you talked about, I can't support this, this, and this. That's fine. But if Tracker is actually friendly, they might be open to extending, changing the things in your slide.
They would, yes. That's possible. They would still have to do the same heuristics that we do, because sitting there on this Linux box, you're not going to have these properties. The file system doesn't deal with that. It's just not there. I mean, it's not an attribute of the file. So Tracker could do that and take that work off our hands, and maybe they could find that useful for their desktop, but that's, it's work that's still, it's mapping that has to be done either way.
Yeah, because part of what I'm thinking about at a high level is, in Windows, they have flags on a file, content indexed, which I assume means that they've gone in, they've found some attributes, they've stuck these attributes somewhere. So in theory, you can add any attributes for Windows, and they flip the flag on, and they say, well, I've indexed that file.
Sure.
So
I mean, you could make it.
And you know, if we want StatX to get into that content indexed flag, let's go for it. You know, Dave Howells has got StatX in, let's go add a flag. But the point is that having an ability to do sane queries across the network, if it's possible to get tracker and then the file system indexing enabled for this, this is a very, I mean, this doubles Samba's usefulness almost, right? This is a big deal, being able to do content indexing.
Sure. We have a question back here. But I think what you're talking about is not a whole lot. If it, the tricky stuff was getting different event models to actually work well together.
The approach of this seems a bit complicated when having the locate database and, for example, the file determination utilities. If you combine those, you might have an index on multiple operating systems.
Okay. The locate database, like the that's already running. Well, but a lot of systems don't. A lot of them are using tracker. So. That gets into a distribution question.
Well, there's also the other extreme. Instead going simpler by using, for example, a locate database, I know of one vendor who are replacing the Spotlight backend tracker by Apache Lucene. So sort of enterprise cloud search technology, which is actually only not too many. I've seen the patches, and it's they're open source. It's only a few hundred lines of code, so that's of course possible to plug in as essentially any search backend, of course.
But the locate would have to still be, I think, expanded a bit to properly redo. It's been a while since I've touched it, but to properly restrict. And my recollection is that you'll get answers for files you can't see, and that would have to be fixed. But yeah, it's a good point. Excellent point. Any more questions? I will also I will give it Noel the proper credit, because if you have questions, he's the guy to ask. That's why my name's not up there. He'd be thrilled to have any requests, help of any sort. And thank you for bearing with me. I got the word yesterday. And so I wasn't able to study up on all the details, but thank you. And I think we have a break now.